daf is daf chaf hey. So we got to the very, very top line. So a bunch of Agata here. The Gemara says, quote from the pasuk in Yeshua, the pasuk says, Vayidom Hashemesh Vayareach Amad Ad Yikom Goy Ovavin. The sun remained silent and the moon stayed until they took revenge from the Goyim, the enemies. Halohi Ksuba Al Sefer Yasher. This is written in the Sefer Yasher. So what's exactly going on? And Rashi just points out, Vayidom is a lashon of silence. That's the language Aaron had when his two sons were killed. Vayidom, Rashi says, Shasak milomar shira. They stopped singing. Shebechol eis, lechta eino shosek. As long as it's going, shebechol eis, when it goes, it's not quiet, meaning it makes noise as it's moving. But when the sun remains silent, shosek, it stays quiet. Yeshua omer shira b'shvila, and while the sun stayed quiet, when it stopped moving, so then Yeshua began to sing a song, Az yidaber Yeshua l'ashem b'yom v'gomer. So the Gemara says, "My Sefer Yasher." What Sefer Yasher that the pasuk in Yeshua is referring to? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh Sefer Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov Shenikru Yesharim. It's referring to the Sefer of Reishis, which describes all the stories of the Avos, as it says in the description of them, Shenemar Tamos Nafshi Mos Yesharim. That Bilam wanted to die the death of the Avos, to the people, the death of the Yesharim. Rashi says here, Mos Yesharim, Bilam Mivakish Alatzmo Sheyomos Misa Agviya Kimos, and just a regular, quiet death like that of the Yesharim, the Sefer Yesharim. This is an Etziv writes the Hamak Davar in the Hakdama to each of the Svarim. He points out that they each have another name. There's Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim. But Breishis is also called Sefer Yashar, and Vayikra is called Toras Kohanim. Bamidbar is called Pekudim. Dvarim is called Mishnah Torah. Shmos has no alternate name. It's called Chumash Sheni. But the fact that Breishis is called Sefer Yashar is based on this Gemara here that's referred to Sefer Yashar, the book of the Yesharim. So the Gemara says, "V'heicha remiza." So where exactly is there a remez to this idea of Yeshua, on this idea of Yeshua stopping the sun? So the Gemara says that says v'zaro yeh milo hagoyim. So that his children, the children of Ephraim, are going to be full of the goyim. Emasai yeh milo hagoyim. When are the children of Ephraim going to be have this great nes? B'shasha amda lo chamal Yeshua. The moment of Yeshua is going to hold the sun up. So fine. So what happened when Yeshua held the sun up? The pasuk describes now by Yamod Hashemesh b'chatzia shemaim that he held the sun up halfway in the sky. Below atzlavo kiyom tamim, and it didn't continue to go. So it sounds like this description that two things happened. There were two points where the sun stopped during the times of Yeshua. First it says v'yamod, and then it says below atzlavo, it didn't continue to go. So comma, how long was the sun paused for? So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Esim v'arba shavs, 24 hours. This whole scene was 24 hours. Ozil shis, it moved 6 hours. V'kom shis, but then it held 6 hours. Then ozil shis, it moved another 6 hours. And then v'kom, then stopped again, shis. So that whole process took kula milsa kiyom tamim. The end of the pasuk says kiyom tamim. So that whole process was 24 hours, like a full kiyom, like a full day. Rabbi Eliezer Amar, Shloshim v'shis, he felt that the whole ordeal was 36 hours. Ozil shis, the sun moved 6 hours. The kam chaser, then it stopped for 12 hours. The ozil shis, and then it moved for another 6 hours. And then kam, then it stopped again for chaser. So amidaso kiyom tamim. Not that the whole process was 24 hours, but the amidaso, the pausing, was a total of 24 hours. So it's 24 hours pausing in addition to the 12 hours of the day. That's a total of 36 hours. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Arba Mishmona. He felt that the whole ordeal was 48 hours. Ozil Shis, it moved 6 hours of the day, the regular daytime. Vekom Tresa, then it stopped for 12 hours. Ozil Shis, it moved another 6 hours, then Vekom Esim V'Arba. Then it held itself for 24 hours, that totals 48 hours. How do you know? Shenemar Vlo'atz Lavo Kiyom Tamim. That didn't go like a whole Kiyom, like a full 24 hours, meaning the second Amida was 24 hours. Michlal Dimikara, implying that the initial Amida was Lav Kiyom Tamim Hav. It wasn't a full 24 hours. They don't say what it is, but I guess the assumption is it was less than that. 12 hours would be, I guess, the next jump. So that totals 48 hours. Now the Gemara says, Ikadami B'Tosefta. This whole three-way machlokas we saw above is really found in Tosefta, according to this second approach. Pligin, but Tosefta Pligin, they argue, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar, Esim, V'Arba, the whole ordeal is 24 hours, Ozil Shis, it walked, it moved 6, Kam Chesar, Ozil Shis, V'Kam Chesar, Amidasa, Kiyom Tamim. The holding was 24 hours, in addition to the day, which is 12 hours. So it's really 36 hours. It's just describing that the Amida is 24 hours. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Shloshim V'Sheish. It was 36 hours, the holding. Azil Shis, it moved 6 hours. Become Tresar, it stopped for 12. Azil Shis, it moved the final 6 hours of the day. Become Esen V'Arba, and then it paused for 24 hours. V'lo Atzlavok Yom Tamim, that the second pause was 24 hours, but the first pause was only 12. And then finally, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, Arbam Ushmona, it was really 48 hours, where it held for Azil Shis, it moved 6 hours. Become Esen V'Arba, it stopped for 24 hours. Azil Shis and moved the final 6 hours of the day, and then come again, Chaf Dalet, it stopped for the final 24 hours, totaling 48 hours of Amida. Makish Amidasa L'Biyasa. Ma Biyasa Kiyom Tam. Just like when the sun came down, the last second pause was like a full day, so to Af Amidasa, so to the initial stopping was Kiyom Tamim, was like a full 24 hours. Okay. Gemara now says, Tana Kishem Shamda Lochamel Yeshubin El Yeshua Kach Amda Lochamel Moshe Lachdimon Ben Gurion. So just like the sun held for Yeshua, it also held for Moshe, and it also held for Nachdimon, as we saw in the Gemara in Tainus. Also, this is a this next excerpt is really pulled out from the Gemara in Tainus. So Gemara says Yeshua cry. We just saw a pasuk Yeshua that describes how the sun stopped for Yeshua. Nachdimon ben Gurion Gemara. We have that Gemara where he owed money. He had to bring the water for the Olah L'Regel, and he didn't have water to pay for it. So then the time came and it ended, and then he davened that the rain should come, and then the sun set down. He says, "You're right. The water was filled, but it was too late." So then finally, he davened that Hashem bring the sun back up. And then he was able to pay his dues on time. So that's the whole story that appears in the Gemara in Tainus. That's Nachdimon ben Gurion. L'Moshe minal. And how do we know Moshe Beinu also experienced the sun stopping? So the Gemara says, Asya achil achil. There's a gzera shava we have. Ksiv hach, it's written here, the pasuk that appears in Moshe with Moshe Beinu, it says, achil taste pachtecha. The word achil is used. With achil, you create pachad in the world. Uksiv Hasim Yeshua, it's written in Sefer Yeshua, Achel Galucha. So the Gzer Shavah, just like Yeshua experienced the Amida of the sun, so too Moshe did. Rabbi Yochanan agrees, Amar Asya Teis Teis. He agrees with the concept that Moshe Beinu did hold the sun up, and it's learned through Gzer Shavah, but he uses a different word. Ksiv Hacha, it says, Achel Teis Pachtecha, Uksiv Yeshua, Biyom Teis Hashem, Es Ha'amori. So we've had this before. We discussed this many times. Whenever there's a gzeir shava, I mentioned this many times. But ain adam don gzeir shava mi'atzma. A person cannot make his own gzeir shava, so it's a misora. How come there's a machlokas here? So we said whenever there's a misora of a gzeir shava, not every detail of that gzeir shava is going to be taught. Sometimes the concept's taught, but the word being used wasn't part of the misora. That's what the rabban had to figure out. Sometimes the words are taught, but the applications are not taught, and they have to figure that out. So the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvos brings down the different types of Gzer Shavas. They know the words, but they don't know the application. They know the application, but they don't know the words. So this is a great example of they knew the application, that the sun stopped for Moshe. It was learned through Gzer Shava, but they didn't have the Masorah, which word was creating the Gzer Shava. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Mugufei Dekra Shmasle. From the pasuk itself, internally within the pasuk, we could learn this idea that within Moshe's pasuk it says, "Asher yishmun shema'acha v'rogzu v'chelu mipanecha," that they heard what Moshe did and they all got very scared. They started to tremble. Amos, when is this true that rogzu v'chelu mipanecha? When were they so scared? When were the amim around Moshe Beinu so scared? When Moshe held the sun up, he paused the movement of the sun, that's when it created tremendous fear in the eyes of the Amim. So you don't need a Gezer Shava, but the pasuk itself says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara now asks, Mesive, that based on a pasuk that appears in Yeshua, V'lo haya kayom ha'hu l'fanav, v'achrav, there will never be a day like this before or after. Sounds like this was referring to that only Yeshua was the one who experienced Vayidom HaShemesh, the sun to stop. Never before, never after. That rejects what we said, that Nachdimon would experience this and Moshe experienced this. Gemara says, no, Ibai Seima, one suggestion is Shaos Hudlo Hava Nafish Klihai. Yeshua held the sun for much longer. Either we said 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours, Moshe Rabbeinu's holding the sun was not as long. That's one suggestion. Now the question is, how come Yeshua was zocheh than to a greater nes than Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua held the sun for much longer. Moshe Rabbeinu held it for however many hours it was, but it was less than Yeshua. So the Inyan Yaakov explains here that Yeshua, he wasn't recognized as a great leader as much as Moshe Rabbeinu was. He needed the kavod, he needed the recognition that he was Yeshua ben Nun. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu appointed him, but still, you know, he wasn't given the proper respect that he deserved. So therefore, Yeshua was zochah to have a much longer holding of the sun so people would respect him. Moshe didn't need the respect that he already got that respect, so it was held only for a shorter period of time. Then the Gemara says another answer, what it means in the pasuk of Lo Haya Kayom Hahu Lefanavu Vachra. There is no day before or after, like the times of Yeshua. It's referring to a whole other episode. Nothing to do with holding the sun, the Gemara says. Vibay Sema Avane Barad Lahavu. The rocks of hail were never like this. What happened in the times of Yeshua? So the pasuk describes Dichsiv Vayhi Benusam Ipnei Yisrael. When they're running away from Ipnei Yisrael, Haim b'morad beis charon, they were in a place in the beis charon, v'ashem hishlich aleim avonim gedolos minashemayim ad azaka v'yamusa. Kadosh Baruch had thrown down these huge boulders of hail and had killed these enemies of Bnei Yisrael. Yes, we had barad in the times of Mitzrayim, but they were not quite as big, as powerful as the ones of Yeshua. Fine. Now, what's Rashi mean by that? You see the Rashi? Rashi says last narrow line. He says Avnei Barad Delo Hayu B'Moshe. Oh, I guess they weren't not rocks of Barad. They were actual Barad, but not rocks of Barad during the times of Moshe. That's okay. Exactly. Fire and ice.
Different.
Right. Look at Tosos here. Dior Maschil L'Moshe. There's only one here. L'Moshe of Yeshua V'Linak Dimon. There were three people who experienced the holding of the sun. Hadelo Kichashiv Nami Yaakov. Yaakov also experienced this. Kisham Lo Hayirak Tashlumim. Yaakov also, the pasuk tells us, and the chum says it did help the sun, but that was a tashlumim. Because what happened? Remember, Yaakov was walking by Har Moriah. Hashem says, "Wait a second! I have a great tzaddik and not going to sleep over in my place." He suddenly brought the sun down quicker. He shortened the day. That means there was another day missing, some hours of the day. So when Yaakov experienced the holding of the sun, that was really to make up the missed time when the sun set early, as it says the Gemara Chulin Kedamrinam. Shemesh Sheshaka Bavuro Zarcha Bavuro. The sun that set for him so that he should sleep also rose early for Yaakov Avinu. So that was a whole other case of Tashlumim. Umehai Taima, from this very reasoning, Nami Lo Chashiv Chizkia Shalhayu Rak Tashlumim Liyom Shiniskatzer Biyimei Achaz. Gemara Nechelek, Sanhedrin refers to that Mice of Chizkio, the sun setting, the sun rising earlier. That's also Tashlumim, is not on the radar here. So then the Gemara says, rather Tosus concludes, Harav Rabbeinu Achanan Omer, another suggestion, Tehahu Maisa de Chizkiah, that event of Chizkiah, Lohaya Ella Os Ba'alma, it was only a sign. Shehare Lo Amad Hashemesh Klal B'Makum Echad Ella Shehalach La'acharav, it didn't stop, it kind of moved backwards, which is different. We're talking about where the sun just remained in the sky, this went backtracked somehow, and that's a different inyan. Fine, back to the Gemara now. Gemara now says around halfway down the Y lines, the last three words are ksiv, kasiv. It says in the pasuk that appears in this in Shmuel Beis, Vayomer lelamed bnei Yehuda keshes, and he said to teach the children of Shevet Yehuda the keshes, the bow. He nek suva al sefer yasher, that's written about in sefer yasher. So Gemara asks, like it asks on the top of the Yomad here, my sefer yasher, what's the straight sefer? Amar Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Sefer Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Shenikru Yesharim. It's the Sefer Bereishis of the Avos, who are called people who are Yesharim, who are straight. Dechsiv Behu, that Bilam described them, Tamus Nafshi Mos Yesharim. That we said earlier that Bilam wanted to die the death of the Yesharim, the death of the Avos. A very simple kiss of death. Bati Achrisa Kamahu. And he wanted to die in such a way. The Hecha Remiza, so where is there such a remez in the Torah of this idea of Yehuda learning the bow? So the Gemara says, Yehuda, Ata Yoducha, Achicha, Yadcha Ba'oref Oivecha. So it says in the Pasuk, this is Vayechi, describing Yehuda, the Bracha Yehuda, you Yehuda, you're going to admit to your brothers, and your hand's going to be Ba'oref Oivecha on the back of the neck of your enemy. So what does this mean? So Gemara says, or if where's the type of battle that requires your hand next to the back of your neck? Haviomer Zekashis, when you pull back the bow, your hand's like here, and then you release shooting it forward. There's a Machlokas Rashi Marsha, exactly what it refers to. He says, Orif refers to the back of the neck here, and the Keshis goes to the front of the neck, and it's referring to the enemy. A bit of a discussion what the pshat is, but let's just leave it for now, that you pull the hand back, and it's around where the neck is. That's a description of the keshes. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Zeh Sefer Mishneh Torah. No. Sefer Yasha doesn't refer to Bereishis, it refers to Mishneh Torah, Sefer Dvarim. But my Karile Sefer Yasha, why does Dvarim acquire the name of Sefer Yasha, a book that's straight? Because the Chassivit says in Sefer Dvarim, in one of the psukim, this is in, I think, Parshat Veschanan maybe, that Vasisa Yashar Vatov Bene Hashem, that you should do Yashar, you should do that which is straight and Tov in the eyes of Hashem. This is the source for which concept, anyone know? Lifnim Asher Sadin. Doing above and beyond the law, that's what this we learn.
They're going to tell me about selling a neighbor's property.
No, not Lashchanim. You're talking about Bar Metzra. That the Gemara doesn't use as a source. But it is, even though you might not have a dinner bar mitzvah, I think sometimes we should sell it to the neighbor anyways, even when it doesn't apply to halacha, because of lefnim mishur sadin. I think that's what it says. But if you look at the Gemara's Bava Basra, it's the first parak there. Anyways, but the from what I remember is, Vasisa Yashar Tov Beinei Hashem is referring to, it's a source of lefnim mishur sadin, going above and beyond the letter of the law. Veheicha remiza. So where is there a hint to such an idea? So the Gemara says, this is going on which question now? Heicher Miza, he's going back on. One second here. He's going back to the Keshes now. It sounds out of order. Okay, let's see. So yeah, right. How do we know that the Keshes in Sefer Devarim? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk describes, Heicher Miza, where in Sefer Devarim is there a remez to using the bow? Yod Ravlo, his hands, this is in Vazos Bracha, his hands will be Ravlo, will be big. Which type of battle, fighting, requires two hands? Havi Omer Zukeshis, because you need to hold the bow and the arrow, you need two hands in order to fight. As opposed to a cherv, as opposed to a sword, you only need one hand. There's a beautiful Maharal Diskin, he says, while a bow requires two hands, and a cherv, a sword, requires one hand, that shot in Rashi in Parshas Vayechi, when it says, Bechar bi bekashi, when Yaakov describes how he fought against Esau with a cherv, a sword, and bekashis is referred to a bow and arrow, the Targum tells us that really, Bechar bi is referring to chachma, it's referring to Torah, and bekashi, right, is referring to tefillah. So he says, beautiful, that tefillah requires two hands. Why two hands? Because the Chazal tell us, really, Pasuk and Mishlei, a person who davens, his tefillah will not be accepted unless he has a Torah as well. You need both hands for davening to be effective. Shtei Yadayim. Pasuk says, Masir ozno mishmo Torah. If your ear is removed from listening Torah, gam tefillaso to'eva. Your tefillah will be to'eva, won't be accepted. So for tefillah to be accepted, you need tefillah and Torah. You need two Yadayim. But if you're going to go the route of just Torah, so then Torah is compared to Cherev, you just need Torah. But Torah, where the Gemara says, Misha Terasa Umnaso Kirashbi, doesn't need to daven. Torah is enough without Tefillah. Tefillah is not enough without Torah. Tefillah requires two ends, like a Keshes, that's why Tefillah is like Keshes. But Torah is like Cherev, which requires only one, which might be a remez as to why when we daven we put our hands together like this. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos says, to use both hands to cover them up like an Eved, but you need both hands in order to have your tefillah accepted. Fine. Then the Gemara says, a third shot, and what Sefer Yashar means is Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Ze Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim in Nevi'im, V'amai Karle Sefer Yashar. Why is it called a book that's straight? The Chassivit says, Bayamima Haim, those days, Ein Melech B'Yisrael Ish Hayashar Bein Av Yasa. The times of Shoftim were terrible times. There was such injustice there. No one was Yashar at all. So it's called, I guess, Sefer Yashar, that it's not really a Sefer Yashar, but it lacks Yashrus. The Heicha Remiza, so where's their remez in the Pasuk in Shoftim that describes the idea of using a bow? So it says, Leman das doros b'nei Yisrael l'lamdam milchama. It says in Pasuk in Shoftim that in order that the doros should learn how to fight. Learn how to fight. Ezi milchama shetzricha limod However, which type of a battle, which type of combat requires training? Haviomer zukeshes. You have to be able to be precise in pulling the bow and aiming the target, as opposed to a cherev. It could kill no matter how how close you are. You don't need a real skill, I guess, for fighting as much as you do for a keshes. So that's the remez in Sefer Shoftim to the bow and arrow. Uminolan de Behuda Ksiv. So how do you know this pasuk in Shoftim is referring to Yehuda though? All the other pasuk can be found in Mishnah Torah and Brachos. It was clear that those brachas in Zosa Bracha and Vayechi were in the context of Yehuda. But who says a pasuk in Shoftim here where it says Laman Das Doros Bnei Yisrael de Lamdam Milchama is referring to Yehuda? So Gemara quotes the next pasuk. It says Miyala Lanu Elaknani Lilachim Bo Vayom Hashem Yehuda. Yalat. So clearly the apostle is referring to Yehuda to go up and fight. How is he going to fight? He's going to fight with a type of milchama that requires das, namely the bow and arrow. Okay, the Gemara now says further, Vayaram hatevach es hashok v'al elya, that the shochet, the butcher, took the part of the thigh and part of the elya was v'yosam l'fnei shaul, and he placed it in front of Shaul. So what does it mean exactly? The apostle wants to know, the Gemara wants to know, v'al elya. What exactly is this So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Shok ve'elya. The Shok is the thigh, the Alya is referring to the tail. So even though it's spelled with an ayin, it really refers to with an aleph, which is a tail. Umay ve'elya. Why is it called he'elya? With an ayin, ayin means he'elya, to place it on top. Dimisamcha Shok la'alya. Because the thigh holds up the tail. So that's why it's called with a lusher with an ayin, v'ha'e'aleha. According to Rabbi Elazar Omer, shok v'chaze. The shok is the thigh and the chaze is the chest, right? Mai v'ha'e'aleha. Why is it called e'aleha? Dimeches le l'chaze ilave d'shok ki bay anufe. When you do tenufa, you place the chaze on top, he'aleha, on top of the shok, uman filay, and you do a tenufa. This part of the kabbalas when you wave them around, so you have to put one on top of the next. And the final position is Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Shok v'Shofi. How do they define the Shofi here in the article? You guys have that?
Nobody has the
article. Articles? Oh, I have to put you on the spot, Ned, sorry.
The cap of the thigh bone.
Okay, the cap of the thigh bone. Okay, so these are my v'Helea, referring to Shofi ilave de Shokai. The Shofi, the Elia, is on top of the Shok. Okay, so different interpretations of this. The Rabban asks a question, though. This that was being brought to Shaul was really a carbon. And the halach is that the tail, according to the first pshat, the elya has to be placed on the carbon, on the mizbeach rather, can't be eaten. How is Shaul able to eat this? So the number of answers brought down by the Radbaz, just one of them was, this tail that was given to Shaul was not from the carbon, it was brought from a davar, a behema chulin, and that's why he was allowed to eat it. Okay, let's go weiter now. Last two lines of the Amud. The Gemara says, "Lo tisyached." Going back to the mission now, Isha imahim. A person, a woman, should not be in yichud with a non-Jew because we're concerned of arayos. So the Gemara asks, "But my asking, what's this scenario here? Ilema bechad. If it's talking about one woman and one non-Jewish man, well, what's the chiddush? The kavasa gavi yisrael mishari. Do we allow a Jewish woman to be alone with a Jewish man? Certainly not. So why did he tell me that she shouldn't be with a Jewish, rather a non-Jewish man? Of course, it should be aser." That's not the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kedushin all the way to the end. Lot yisyachet ish echad im shtei nashim. One man can be with two women. And the Gemara goes on to say, the Mishnah, below, hold on a second, what happened to my Gemara? There we go. I've turned too many pages. All right, here we go. El betlasa, so the case must be not one and one, but must be referring to three people. So she cannot be with three people. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Still, the kavasa gav Yisrael beprutza mishari, that same halacha applies to a Jew. Meaning a woman can be with two men if the two men are tsnum, or people who are modest, people who are yirei shemayim. But to be with three men would be aser if they're prutim, if they are, what's a good word for prutim?
Prutim.
Prutim, okay, prutim, fine. Promiscuous. So that even three Jewish men would not be permitted. So certainly with three non-Jewish men, we assume they're all prutzim, certainly that would not be permitted. So mishari, is that permitted? V'atran, doesn't the Mishnah tell us, aval isha achas misachedes im shnei anashim, a woman may be yichud with two men, we're assuming nothing bad will happen, but comes along Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, and he qualifies this, Lo shanu ela b'ksherim. This is only true if the two men are kosher. Aval b'prutim afilo asar nami lo. But to have 10 men, if they're all prutim, that's not going to help. We don't trust any of these men together. And there's a ma'isa haya, once an event happened, v'otziu asar b'mita. 10 men had a whole, they put a whole situation where they said someone died, they went to the base kvaros apparently to bury someone, and they're really taking out an ish there to violate her. So even 10 men you can't trust. They would go to such extremes to do inappropriate things. So we shouldn't trust her even with 3 non-Jewish men. Now who's considered Snoon and Prutzim? If you remember the Gemara, I don't remember which great Amoraim I was referring to, but 2 Amoraim said, you and I, we're not Snoon, we're Prutim. You need Amoraim like, I don't know, Rav and Abaye. I don't remember the names that they use there. So it sounds like that the Snoon, you really have to have a high standard for who's considered Snoon. Now, but the Ramah Paskins otherwise. I think the Ramah Paskins that most people are assumed to be Snoon. You don't have to be at those high levels. Most are assumed Snoon unless proven otherwise that they're really Prutim. Either way, we're assuming all the Goyim are considered Prutim, so you can't trust her. What's the Chiddush? Of course, she can't be with any amount of men. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha beishto imo." The situation is where she's with a non-Jewish man, but that non-Jewish man's wife is also there. So now it's a couple, non-Jewish couple with a Jewish woman. We're saying even in that scenario, with the husband's wife there, we still don't trust them. Why? Because Oved Kochavim Ein Ishto Mishmarto. His wife is not going to protect, whether she's scared of him, whether she wants him to, whatever the case is, she does not provide any shmir for the husband and certainly not any shmir for the Jewish woman. Aval Yisrael Ishto Mishmarto. But a Jewish woman with her husband will protect her husband, and that would be allowed. To have one Jewish woman with a Jewish couple, that would be considered allowed. Okay, if you look at Tosos just for a second here, Dimam Ascha Lo Tzricha, go 3 lines down at Tosos, he asks, V'im Tomar. Im Tomar, there's another possible kula here. Amai Lo Moki Le B'sheyesh Mima Tinokes. Why not say that there's referring to a young child here? The B'ki Hai Gavna Yisrael Shari L'Yichude. When it comes to a Jewish man and woman, if there's a young child there, then they are allowed to have Yichud. Yichud not Aser. D'amar Rava Hasam B'gemara Misyachid Adam Misha V'tinokes Shiodas Tambia. If a man can be with a woman who he's not married to, as long as there's a child there who's old enough to understand Tambia, Veino Mosra Atma Labia, means she's old enough to know it's inappropriate, something weird's going on, then that would prevent any problems of Yichud. So that would be allowed for a Jew, and that wouldn't be allowed for a non-Jew. So why didn't the Gemara suggest that? And by the way, this is a heter that's used. It's very uncommon nowadays because the Chassan College are able to, they could schedule using pills when the need is going to happen. But if a chuppas need to happen, if a Chassan College get married and she's benida, and they can't be with each other that first night, so there's an Isser Yichud even though they're married. The Isser Yichud is only permitted once they've been with each other once before with one's own wife. But they've never been with each other, so what's the Eitzah? So it's a very uncomfortable thing. But you have to have like a young child, 6, 7, 8 years old, sleep in the same room with them for the next few days until she goes to the mikvah. So again, that's a thing that allows that there is no Isser Yichud. So why didn't the Gemara suggest that here? And so the Tosos answers, last 2 lines of Tosos, V'yesh Lomar, D'loshon lo tisyached, mashma she'en sham shum yisraelis elahi. Sound like she was the only Jew in the picture. There are other non-Jews, the man, the non-Jewish man, and the non-Jewish wife, but it sounds like there are no other Yidden there. That's why the Gemara didn't suggest this. Then the Gemara says 7 lines down, V'tepik le mishum shvichas damim. So the Gemara up until now said the reason why you can't have Yichud with a non-Jew is because of Erva. He might violate her. But isn't there also a problem that he might kill her? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Be'isha chashuva askinah. We're talking about a woman who's very chashuva. That he's scared to kill her, that she's someone very important, she's close to the Malchus, and if he kills her, they're going to catch him, so therefore there's no concern of her being killed.
Now would be.
What?
But Bahamainam would be.
If she's a Nachashiv. Correct, yeah. Nachashiv, there is a concern that he might kill her. Now, Rav Idi Amar Isha Klezaina Aleh. The Klezaina, which literally means that she has weapons on her, that means he has no enjoyment in killing her. He'd rather keep her to violate her. He doesn't want her dead. He wants her to be Baala. So he'd rather keep her alive. So there's a fascinating Rashi here, and Tosos, to understand this. So let's look at Rashi together. Rashi says around 10 lines down, Be'isha Chashuva. Bein ha'anashim, bein ha'anashim. She's very chashiv, she's prestigious among the men and among the women. Meaning what? Isha yafe u'krov l'machus. She's chashiv amongst the women in that she's a pretty lady. And she's a chashiv amongst the men that she's krov l'machus. The mistafe minei v'lokale. So therefore this guy won't kill her. Aval mishim arayos ika, but there is a chashash of arayos because the yafala, because she is pretty. Now, then Vayter, he says, "V'sarich lashmina, we need to teach me to lol tisyachid chayshin and shema tisbate." Even though there's no concern of him killing her, there's still chashash of arayos. Aval isha she'en chashuva, says Rashi, bein hanashim, she's not chashim amongst the men, which means she's not karv l'malchus. The chashuva bein hanashim, but she is chashim amongst the women. So then, meaning she's pretty, mishim ritzicha namiika. There is concern that he might kill her because she's not chashiv amongst the men. She's not karvel malchus. Debala, what's going to happen? He's going to debala because she's pretty, and v'acharka chorga, and afterwards kill her because she's not karvel malchus. Delo sfir leisha kleizayna aleh. He doesn't hold that her weapons are there, that she has a certain defense, meaning no one's going to kill a woman. And look at this last three lines, Rashi, fascinating line here. V'chashuva bein hanashim. Let's say she's chashiv amongst the men, meaning she's karvel malchus. V'lo bein hanashim, but she's not chashiv amongst the women. Mutars liyasyached umishim arayos lekadena yafe. She's not pretty, so therefore yichas permitted. Tosfos says here, I'm not going to show you, it's a long Tosfos. Where do you ever find a heter? You can be miyached with an ugly woman. It doesn't make any sense. We don't find any statement in. So he goes against this Rashi, which is fascinating. I once heard, I'm not going to quote from who, but a very important Rav, in terms of handshaking. When it comes to handshaking women, so in business it comes up often. So he said, listen, if the lady's a big, fat lady who I'm not attracted to, I would shake her hand. That's what he wanted. A big Rav once said this. Now, I've never seen this written anywhere. There's a difference between Yafe or not Yafe. Tosfos has the same taina here. But within Rashi, there seems to be a heter. I don't know if it's brought down in the poskim. So Rashi says, if she's not Yafe, yichud's permitted. I'm not recommending this at all. I don't think we poskim this way, but it's fascinating nonetheless. Okay. Now, if you go next to Rashi, just going right to the same shot here. How are we doing with time? We're good. Rashi says, Isha klei zayna aleha. That she has the weapon. She has this defense on her. What does that mean? Afagav de'ena chashuv. Even though she's not chashuv, she's not karv l'malchus. Lo bein ha'anashim, not amongst the men. Lo bein ha'anashim, not amongst the women. Ein horigosa ela ba'ala. He's not going to kill her. He's going to just ba'ala. V'cheven shibala. Ein horigo. He has no reason to kill her. What good is her death? He may as well keep her around to be Baal a second time. V'afilu eino karav l'malchus, not me, he doesn't care to kill her. So this assumption, of this Rashi, again, there's a big discussion in Rishon, he assumes that he's going to be Baal and not kill her. And even if she's eino yafa, even if she's not pretty, this Mandamer thinks he will be Baal even if she's not yafa. So now, look at the Gemara. Gemara says, "My binai, what's the nafkamina between whether the, we wanted to know why won't the guy kill her? Either because she's an isha chashuva, or because kli zayina, no one kills a woman. No one's so such a what's the word I'm looking for? No one's such a wimp to have to kill a woman. So you don't kill women. That's why you don't kill men, but you don't kill women. So the Gemara says, Ika binayu isha chashuva bein hanashim v'she'ena chashuva bein hanashim. If she's very prestigious amongst the men, she's a karv l'malchus." But she's not chashuv amongst the women, so that's an afkamina. Meaning what? According to the first mandamer, if she's not chashuva bein hanashim, she's not pretty, in other words, the first mandamer says he's not going to bala. He doesn't care for her if she's a yafe. But according to Rav Idi, holds about Kli Zayna, he made this assumption that even if she's not yafe, he will still be bala, in which case there will still be an iser of yichud. Now, again, this doesn't work out. It doesn't seem like that's what the Gemara is saying here. It's a very tricky read of this Gemara here. Again, Rashi talks about this. It's a very long Tosfos. There's another Rishonim. Hopefully, there'll be at least some surface understanding of this Gemara. And the Gemara says, Tani Kavasa Dirav Idi, Varavin, there's a Braisa that supports his position that Haisha, a woman, Afa Pisha Shalom Ima, Lotis Yachid Ima, Mibnesha Chashudna Al Harayos, a woman, even though she's a woman, no matter what her status is, no matter what she looks like, there's always a concern of arayos with the men, where even if she's eno yafe. Okay, the Gemara now says halfway down. Lo si yisyachid adam imahim. So a man shouldn't have yichud with a non-Jewish man either, because we're concerned that the goy might kill him. So Tanur Rabban, the Braita says, Yisrael shen is damin lo ovid kochavim bederech. Let's say you're walking and a non-Jew accompanies you. It's you and him. So you're scared to death that he might kill you. So what do you do? Toflo liyamino. Make sure he stays on your right side all the time, as Rashi explains here, because this way if he tries to attack you, you have your right, assuming you're righty, you have your right hand to push him away or to grab something from him. This way you want your right hand more accessible to protect yourself. Then comes along Rabbi Yishmael Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Besayef Toflo Yamino, Bemakel Toflo Lismal. Depends what kind of weapon he has. If he has a sword, so then you should go to his right. But if he has a stick, it should be in the left. So just look at Rashi here. Rashi says, Besayef, halfway down the Y lines in Rashi, Dim Haya Ha'ovid Kochavim Chagar Sayef, he's wearing a sword, so Toflo Yisrael Yamino, he should be on his right. So in other words, like this. I'm the Jew, a non-Jew walking next to me. He now is going to be having his sword in his left side because he's a righty, assuming he's a righty. He's going to pull out like that. So he's coming across his body. I want the sword to be right next to me on my right side. So if he's on my right side with the sword, I could grab the sword before he grabs that sword if I see something strange going on. But if he's holding a stick, so he's holding a stick in his right hand, not his left side, so I should be on the other side. The goy should be on my left side. If he's holding a stick this way, I could grab his stick, because if it's on the, if I'm this way, the stick's on the other side, I can't reach the other side around. So it's just a good eitza, how to protect yourself when walking al haderach. And then the Gemara says, Hayu olin bimala. Let's say they're climbing up the stairs or a mountain or something, or yordin v'yirida, or they're going down something. Lo yehi yisrael lemata ve'oved kocham lemala. Don't have the Jew be in the bottom. Don't be in the bottom and the guy above you, because he can always just shove you down. Ella, always yisrael lemala ve'oved kocham lemata. Always make sure you're on top, whether you're ascending or descending. Always be on top of elevation. This way he can never throw you down. Furthermore, Valya Shoach Lefanov, then don't bend down in front of him. Shema Yaritz Esgul Galasso, he might crack your skull open. Again, just be very careful when walking with him. Shalu Leheichan Holich, so they asked, let's say they ask you where you're going. You're going traveling somewhere. He says, oh, where are you going? Maybe I'll join you for the way. So the Gemara says, Yarchiv Lo Esaderech Kiderech Shasa Yaakov Avinu Le'esav HaRasha. Tell him you're going much further than you actually plan on going. Because he's not going to want to try to kill you right away. He's going to try to kill you right before you get to your destination. So if you say you're going to California, and you say, at Chicago, I'm going to stop up here, you've tricked him. He wanted to kill you right before you got to Los Angeles. But you tell him Los Angeles, and you get off at Chicago instead. That's what you should do to avoid being killed or robbed. Dichsiv, it says by Yaakov Avinu, Ad asher avo el adoni she'ira. I'm going to Seira. But what happens in the end? Ksiv, the Yaakov Nasa Besukosa. He went to Sukkos. So he didn't go to Seira. He told him, I'm going far away in order to trick him, and he went a much shorter distance. So one time, Maisa B'Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, once the students of Rabbi Akiva, Shayu Holchen L'Ksiv, they were going to this area called Ksiv or Koziv, Pogu Behen Listim, and they were surrounded by bandits. Amrulahan, they said to him, Atem Holchen, La'anatem Holchen, where are you guys going? Amrulahan, he said, La'ako, we're going to Akko, which is further than Koziv. Kavin Shigila Kaziv Pershu, once they got the Kaziv, they said, ah, we're gonna take off now. And they tricked him. So Amru Lahan, so they said to him the Tamide Miatem. So the listim asked this Bachrim, who are you the students of? Amru Lahan, they responded back, Tamide Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is our Rebbe. So the listim said, Amru Lahan, Ashri Rabbi Akiva Vatamida of a praiseworthy Rabbi Akiva and his students, Shalopaga ben Adam Rami Olam, that you guys were able to avoid danger this time. You tricked us. A great call by you guys. We couldn't rob you. Let's go a little further. You guys want to go to the Mishnah or not? It's very quick. You don't have to.
It's quick.
Let's do it quickly. Yeah, it's 7:39. So let's stop here. We'll stop here. It goes very fast. I'm going to Galar also, okay. So it's fast. We'll stop here then. And it's very quick read then. Fine. Okay. Sure. Everyone have a wonderful day. A good Shabbos.